God. I don't believe this. He's got, one day he's got it. Carl's really grumpy and all stressed because he didn't have the record. We didn't want to play a so I won't say it. We didn't want to play a certain record he had lined up because it's rubbish.
I know, but you do this every week.
Because it's, because the most of them are rubbish. So that's why we choose up.
No, but 30 seconds to go on the track and you're saying, don't want to play that.
And you're going, oh, stress me out. You're meant to be at our beck and call. We've made you. We got you out of the gutter. And now you're getting greatest mind in the world
yeah,
and all that.
That doesn't mean you can mess me about. If you were a doctor and you saved me life,
yeah.
Right? There comes a point.
In a way, we have, Carl.
Yeah.
Where were you going?
Go on, what were you saying? No, what was he going to say? He was going to say something wise then.
No, I was going to say, right, if you were a doctor
yeah.
and you'd save me life,
yeah.
there's only so much that I could give back to you, right?
Okay.
What would be unreasonable? What would be unreasonable?
Well, you know.
Forget doctor, don't forget doctor, because no, the doctor's, that's its job, right? Supposing I was just walking along and I saved your life. I gave you a kidney, or I, you know, resuscitated you, or I dived into icy water. What could I hope from you then before you start going, hold on, what would you be willing to do for me until you sort of got, lost your rag a little bit? Because I was asking too much.
So, didn't I know you before you've, sorted a lung out for me?
No. Right. I just gave you a lung, for example.
Well, I'd be a bit sort of, I'd be thinking, why has he done that?
That's suspicious!
But what I love though, Rick, is the idea of you jumping in icy water to save someone, giving them a lung. I can guarantee if someone was lying on the floor screaming they needed your help, you'd affect a foreign accent and go, I know, understand, and run off.
Do you know what I did once? Right. We went out a few weeks ago, right, and some woman had her handbag nicked, and she was all distressed. He said, chase the fella, Carl. You stop it.
Let's be honest. Yes, imagine Ricky chasing a criminal. Look at his little legs. He'd never get anywhere.
He started to run and then he passed Starbucks or something and nicked for a short.
How did this turn on me? Oh, I'm a bad man because I don't give lungs away.
No,
no one would want my kidneys or my lungs for a start.
Did you chase the criminal then?
I did for a bit.
He walked.
No, you didn't, did you?
No, I did a little bit.
We sort of spread out. What, we missed him.
Where was it and what was the situation?
It was
Did you see a bag get snatched or
it
something?
Was
no, she was sort of crying and she was running to, some blokes came in, sat next to her and then just ran off with her purse and,
You walked after them?
No, they'd gone, Steve. They'd actually gone, but, it was just, a bit distressing because she was devastated. I know how she feels as well because I had a jacket and you think, I've just got to find them now.
Yeah.
Where are they? Who are they? You know. So she was really off her head with sort of she was angry and sort of crying.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Carl? He's broken his mic now.
Oh, right. Play record, Carl. What are you doing, mate?
I don't believe this. There's only 2 weeks to go. These should be special.
Carl, play the record. Carl. We've asked you to play the record.
Like you.
I'm alive.
Hive's main offender on XFM 104.9. I forgot to say who I was.
Go on, who are
Ricky
you?
Ricky Gervais, who
obviously
are you?
Steve Merchant.
And who's that little fella over there, little round fella?
Tiny little Carl Pilkington.
The funny little thing from the Smash adverts. Say, they smash them with their metal knives.
You're right, he does, doesn't he?
I was asking if I'd seen a rounder head than him, and that's the only one someone come up with. That's the only thing they come up with. Oh look, you're actually a little bit stressed today, aren't you? Because you had a drink last night, didn't you?
I had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
I was down at Steve's night, he was doing a bit of DJing.
Yeah.
Went down the store.
And that's why you're all grumpy.
What? Did you hear what he just said?
What?
I was DJing last night, obviously that XFM evening.
Yeah, yeah.
Hour and a half, my friend and I split the time on the decks.
Yeah.
What was the word you just used?
He went down a storm.
We went down a storm. Right, three girls, I was walking to the toilets during my set, three girls went, you are a genius. Right? What's his name? Dane Bowers?
Why?
Zane Lowe?
Because you played records in a certain order.
Yes. Look, sorry Rick if you can't deal with that. Sorry if you're a little bit jealous, because this time you can't share the award.
Oh dear.
But it was my credit this time.
You can tell he hasn't been a DJ. Because it's not just about
that
the songs you play, it's the way you play them.
Way you play them, whether it's 33 or 45, important.
Yeah, leave your hand on them as they're trying to go round.
But so three girls there, charmed by me, they loved it.
Yeah.
Zane Lowe, XFM DJ and MTV presenter, probably one of the coolest blokes alive, he came up, gave us massive respect. He said, I'm loving your set. He actually used those words, right? There were people coming up, they couldn't believe their luck. It was roaring. We'd stick on a track, people would cheer as it came on, right? My particular favourite, Carl, I think you'll agree, my particular triumvirate, LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out, leading straight into House of Pain, Jump Around, then straight into that current Elvis track that's been re-released, remixed by Junkie XL. I played the original, which I'd already played on XFM before. I'm already there, cutting edge.
Yeah.
Right?
Three old tracks, you mean?
Three old tracks.
In a row?
Yep. And, well, I think the words that would best sum up are, I kicked ass.
Great.
Rick. Alright?
Well, I'm gonna be kicking some ass today, because I'm gonna be shamelessly self-indulgent, and, we've only got two shows to go, so I'm playing some of the most beauteous tunes in the world. And I was just telling Carl, lined up a Simon and Garfunkel track, Only Living Boy in New York. He went, why is he the only living boy in New York? I went, what? He went, what does that mean then? I went, I don't know. He went, well, what is it about? I said, I don't care. I said, it's a lovely sentiment. He went, no, what's it? I said, I don't go into that. Do it. I said, he went, I like a story. I said, like what? I said, Killing of Georgie. No trickery. Killing of Georgie. I think we should play that at the last.
It's good. I heard it the other day on Radio 2. It was cracking. It sounds like, well.
It's really good.
Tell them what it's about again.
It's about, little girl, gay fella.
A little what? A little gay fella?
Yeah.
Right.
Who, I mean, I haven't heard it for a bit, so it's all off memory, this. But, gay bloke, is he from Scotland?
I have no idea.
But he's from somewhere where gays aren't liked.
Okay.
Right? No.
No, well, he is.
Georgie Boy was gay, I guess, nothing more than the kindest guy I ever knew, right? Now, all he did was, right, his father said, how can my son not be straight, kicked him out, right? Goes to America.
Yeah, but you can handle all that. You can handle your dad not getting on with you if other people around you are into the same scene.
Yeah.
But he was left on his own, he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He was getting stressed out.
Yeah.
So he goes.
And this was before, I mean, this is. When did this record come out?
78?
77,
yeah,
something like
that.
Right.
And, he's
during punk.
Right. Oh, yeah. I see, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Village People had come along and made gay cool.
Yeah.
That had already happened.
Yeah.
But it wasn't respected.
But. He was watching the telly or something, and he saw that New York had loads of them over there, and they're all having a good time.
Sure.
No, sorry. At no point in the song does Rod Stewart say little gay Georgie was watching telly and saw loads of gays in New York. At no point in that song.
No, but this is what I like about that song. You sort of picture what's going on.
You make it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so the little gay fella was watching telly, and there was presumably and now from New York, the gay show. Yeah.
Or whatever, because it was a big scene over there, wasn't he, in the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Go on.
So he goes over there, and he's having a great time and that.
Went to New York town, very quickly settled down, soon became the toast of the Great White Way.
Yeah, they loved him.
All the old queens blew a fuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, he was out late one night.
Yeah.
And he's walking home.
Yeah.
And, gets attacked, gets killed, and he's lying in
the gutter. They didn't intend to take his life, they just put Sarah, like, a little too far that night. Yeah, you see?
So.
Yeah.
But what's good there? Is it good that he had a bit of a good life and was able to be himself?
Yeah.
Or should he have stayed in Scotland?
He didn't come from Scotland. Again, I really-
Well, is there any way we can get this song before the end of the show and play it? Because I've heard it recently. A lot of people listening will have never heard this song. They wouldn't have any idea
Can I say what you said when we were talking about that song once before?
Is it bad?
It might be. Because we were talking about, you know, Georgie Boy, got it. I don't know.
What?
It's when you said.
Well, it's a fact. I don't think if.
Well, he said, so it's looking at Georgie, he gets out, dies, right? He goes, well, they do go out late.
I know.
Gay people.
I
go
know
out
a few
late.
Gay people, and they start to party late on. That's what, in Soho, right? Girlfriend got in a cab, right? Suzanne was in a cab. And the cab driver was taking her to an early start, right? She works at the BBC.
Yeah.
Early start, 4 in the morning. It was going down, it was mental in Soho at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
They were all still, like, starting the night out.
How do you know they're gay?
It's Soho, isn't it?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Play a track. I'd love to try and dig this out.
Yeah, we will. This is Simon and Garfunkel, The Only Living Boy in New York. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Only Living Boy in New York. Do you like that?
It's got a nice feel to it.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Lovely. A bit later I'm gonna be playing a Cat Stevens track. It's one of the most beautiful tracks ever written. It's called Lily White off Mona Bone Jack On. Look forward to that. We've got Eminem coming up.
We've got the new Eminem single as well, and a big giveaway, Rick, lest we forget.
I think we should tell them what that is.
Do you think so?
Yeah, well, we all went to the BAFTAs, as you know, And, we thought we could get a good prize out of this, so we got some celebs.
Yes.
To sign the BAFTA bag they gave away. It's just a nice big chunky sort of cardboard carrier bag, you know. It's not the value that counts, this is what values it. Read out the sort of names
these
we got.
These are the kind of celebrity names that have signed that bag. Obviously us three, plus Graham Norton.
Yeah.
Angus Dayton signed it, Alan Davis, Jonathan Creek, Jamie Theakston, Paul Whitehouse, a lot of comedians you'll notice, Helen Baxendale from Cold Feet, who's also been in Friends, right? I don't know why that's so exciting. Steve Phil Mitchell McFadden.
Yeah.
It's an eclectic bag. I noticed actually that Steve's signature is also mentioned, I think he says Steve, aka Phil Mitchell. Which is very nice of him.
Yeah.
Peter Davison, former Doctor Who.
I noticed also that when you gave him the pen to sign it, he put the pen away.
Yeah, he pocketed it.
We had to say, whoa.
Just his wily cockney ways.
You're not Phil Mitchell now, mate.
Exactly.
Give us the pen back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg, and of course, one of broadcasting's biggest legends, Steve Wright.
Got him
to sign it as well.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, you're not gonna find that. That's quite an eclectic and kooky mixture of celebrity names.
Yeah.
You know, autographs on one bag.
And maybe we photocopy it, and we can explain who they are.
But we can give that away, and as you know, it's a little commemorative thing of the BAFTA. It's got a big BAFTA logo on there and everything. It's pretty classy. Did I mention this? That our agent who was there, he ran around getting a few of these autographs, and I think Helen Baxter on a few. He went up to him and told him it was for charity, and that was why they signed it. Which I think's, you know, a little bit cheeky, but that's what agents are like, Carl, you've got to
understand. But then again, he didn't get anything from him. It's not like he said, give us a pound.
No, he just got
they
things.
Just got
well, he said that as well.
Then he made 42
quid. Yeah, exactly. so anyway, we're going to give that away.
Is that a good prize? I think that's a nice prize, isn't it? It's a little commemorative thing.
Carl, you're turning your nose up on it.
No, it's all right. I wouldn't want it.
Do people get you to sort of do campaigns on the radio, like drink Fosters? I wouldn't, but... You know, you can.
Yeah, but look, I notice on the big board here, it tells us that, you can win signed and framed Chemical Brothers album covers on Sunday. Well, that's just two geeks who've signed that. We've got three alone
in this room!
Exactly, plus we've got some of, you know, the cream of Britain's light entertainment who've signed that bag. I'm appalled by you that you're just so disrespectful of us.
No, but it's like how when I went to the BAFTAs with you, and I wasn't really enjoying it,
What? You didn't tell us this! You're like a little charity case. You're like,
I had chicks queuing up around the block.
Someone like you would have to write to Jim or Fix It or Esther Ranson to get to meet us sort of people. And now it's on your doorstep.
I'm amazed that you didn't enjoy it. Why didn't you enjoy it? You got to walk down the red carpet. You went in. There was George Best, one of your footballing heroes, was there. A load of other big names. You sat there in a prime position. You came backstage with a load of other big names. Hey, you had a lovely bit of grub.
You were filming this thing for the DVD we're making. That's you, a cameraman on our DVD. And yet you think, now you look grumpy because you had a couple of pints and I can't believe it.
So tell us why you didn't enjoy it, because the ceremony, what didn't you enjoy about that? It was interminable, wasn't it?
Far too long.
Wasn't it awful?
Three hours.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something.
Really?
Sorry.
3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose for you two, at least, you know, you were gonna get something.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, with me, it's like, I mean, I've never graduated or anything, so...
Have you not?
I'm trying to think of a situation. Basically, I sat there 3 hours, knowing that I'm not gonna get anything out of the night.
Yeah.
Right? Now...
when we invited you and you said yes, did you think you were up for an award?
No. I thought we were going to be sat round tables, having a nice bit of food, whilst people are going up there winning awards.
Yeah.
But 3 hours of the same thing over and over again. I mean, if a film's 3 hours in the cinema, you go, well, it's long, but, you know, I wonder how it's going to end.
Yeah.
But this was just like the same thing over and over again. Some guy going up, thanks a lot, cheers for the bit of brass. And then going down, sitting down, the same thing over and over again.
Mm.
I'd say it was one of the worst things I've ever had to do.
I
enjoyed the night afterwards when we did have a bit of lamb and a nice bit of veg and that. That was all right, and I went home and I was happy, and I got the little freebie bag that you're talking about that we're giving away.
Yeah.
Which wasn't much good stuff in it.
What
would you have done on that Saturday night?
Suzanne,
what would you have done what would you have done had you been at home?
I would have stayed in with Suzanne, right, watching telly, having a nice bit of pate on toast or something, cup of tea, watching 24, but instead, I had to buy an expensive suit so I didn't show you up, right?
Jesus, what are you doing?
Yeah. How much did you spend on your suit?
Well, in total, right, because of, you know, the shoes and the suit and the shirt and the tie, it was about £600.
That's the most expensive evening ever!
That's what I'm saying to you. And the daft thing is, it's dark in there. I don't know why you've got to wear a nice suit.
You can't wear a tracksuit, for goodness sake.
It's dark in there!
No, just the shirt and that. It doesn't make you a better person wearing a suit.
No, doesn't make you a better person, no.
We're not claiming it made you a better person.
No, well, that annoyed me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an experience, innit? That's why I went, because you think, if I didn't go, if I would have said to you when you invited me, no, Steve, I don't want to go, then I would have never known, right? Yeah. And that's my sort of thing in life, right? Yeah. If something comes up, you should take it, even if you're not going to like it, it's a bit of an experience.
Right.
And you know what he said to me? I phoned him up, because we had to meet up, and obviously he had to pose as my, gay lover.
Yeah.
Get in, right?
Yeah.
He said something to me like, I bought a suit, I'm looking good. He said, I'm looking good. People will think, how on earth did he end up with that good-looking guy?
So he got into the role.
That was what he said to me. Such an insight.
Player record.
I just must say that we've had an email from Daryl Foss. Lots of people have emailed in, say, well done on the BAFTAs and well done on your Room 101. They really liked that.
Thank you.
There's one guy, and it's Daryl says, Ricky, has your dad only got one D-Mob suit? Because I know you noticed, but Ricky wears the same suit every single time he appears on TV, because he spent a fortune on it getting it tailor-made.
I've only got one.
It's a good suit, and I know. Wears it all the time.
And it's winter as well, it's like a pure wool, so I'm sweating everywhere I go. Anyway, usually, it's too much cheese.
I won't be buying another.
Huh?
I won't be buying another one.
Ever.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Suzanne told me today, right, because I've handed it in today to have the trousers turned up a bit.
Why?
Because it was a bit of a bodge job for the night.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just some pins sort of holding it up the other night, but you didn't notice, and I didn't tell you, because I thought you'd be getting on the stage and saying, look at that freak over there, with his pants hemmed up. But I took it to the place to get it done. Suzanne tells me that I'm going to start shrinking now and getting to that age where you start going small.
I know that must have been a revelation to you and a worry. Like, how small do you get? How small do you get?
Oh, Dave,
what are we playing now? Well, I thought we'd have a bit of Marley music.
Marley music?
Oh.
Okay.
Go on. Badly Drawn Boy and Something to Talk About. Well, it's a good job we've got something to talk about, because we're DJs on XFM 104.9. I'm a DJ with Stephen Merchant. Of course, there, Carl Pilkington, how are you doing?
Of course, you must have been excited at the BAFTAs, because we did bump into Dr. Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Pleased with that.
Yeah.
What was the challenge again? I think the challenge was you had to shout Foxy.
Yeah, the challenge was, it's sort of like Jackass, but wimpy Jackass. Carl was our cameraman for the night, because we're doing the making of sort of series two, where we've filmed ourselves sort of writing it and doing bits and pieces and going to awards on it. And it's on me, and that my challenge, which I think was it me that set my own challenge?
You did.
I had to shout Foxy and get him over.
Yeah.
And I bottled out you about five times. I just thought he was talking to someone.
Yeah.
I just thought, and then I did it, and where's the victory in that?
Yeah.
I shouted Foxy and he came over and went, alright. I think, where's the victory?
Well, I remember
just they dive off buildings and things.
Well, I was a little bit taken aback, because even though he was joking and mucking around, he was swearing. You don't expect that from Foxy.
Oh, behave. He was like, he was off duty.
No, he's more than wrong, but he didn't expect it to, because he seemed like a lovely bloke there, but he has got an enormous head. I mean, I'm not disrespecting him, I think he's a lovely guy, but his head is huge.
But he's in proportion with his big body as well. He's a chunky wombat of a man.
True enough.
And so am I.
It was a problem getting him on screen.
Sure, because of the huge head. Yeah.
I was struggling.
No. I know that Popeye people have worries about that. I had to get special lenses.
Yeah, yeah. I love the fact that us three freaks can take the piss out of anyone.
Stop there though, Rick, because I was on TV briefly. There was a thing about The Office on Top 10 TV Bastards on Channel 4, and I appeared on there briefly talking about the show. And there's this girl who's a girlfriend of a friend of mine, and she's like, I saw you on TV last night. I went, yeah. She went, I'll tell you this, you're better looking on TV than you are in real life, and that's good for you. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that was a compliment, because it's like-
Definitely not.
Well, I'm not on TV, so it's not beneficial in any way.
Yeah.
But that's like-
I'm too right, you have to step out of the TV.
But that's like saying, I normally find you pretty repulsive.
Yeah.
My opinion changed slightly last night because you were on the box.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, it sounded like it was a compliment.
through the aid of a different-
Yeah. Through the aid of lighting.
Yeah.
And appearing like for 12 seconds on screen in small doses.
Oh, God.
You thought I wasn't as bad looking as I am in real life.
A lot of people have phoned in and wondered if you are morph grown up, because they've seen a picture of you on the website.
Do you mean me or Carl?
Carl.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, because people have seen you next to a picture of morph, and it is exact. If you draw around, honestly, Carl, if you lay you down and draw around you, it's exactly the same shape as Morph. Yeah. Some, or the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Or, yeah, Gingerbread Man. You do look like a gingerbread man. That's great.
Oh, I love, Carl, we think you're brilliant. We like looking at you, talking to you, hearing what you've got to say. We think of you, don't we, in the week sometimes.
Rick, I had a bit of good news this morning.
Go on.
And I don't mean this in any way, I'm sure it's an emotional thing for her, but in The Sun it says that Dido, her wedding's off.
Right.
Just thinking, ding dong. Because for some reason, I don't know what it is, I was having a chat with my mates, I've always been under the assumption I could pull Dido.
Because she's...
Because she's quite ordinary, do you know what I mean? She looks a bit ordinary, she's quite an attractive one, but like...
Would that be your opening chat-up line?
You look quite ordinary.
Dido, I don't think you could probably get anything better than me, because you're not too hot yourself.
Exactly.
My name's Steve Merchant.
I'd wear, actually what I'd do is I'd go, right, I'm not going to meet you in the flesh, but I'm going to send a picture beyond video.
Yeah, this is me on Top TV Masters, what do you think?
See what you think.
Yeah, and if you think it's good, well I'm certainly no worse without the lighting and makeup, so don't worry about that.
Exactly.
Aww.
Oh, Dido.
Do you have a little bit of Bowie? Do you have a little bit Bowie?
What was your thing about Dido? That she's like a kind of... She's a bit like a receptionist,
who got up and sang once, because she didn't know her tunes, and a bloke came up, hi, I'm Gridlin Records, I'm thinking of releasing the CD, and it just goes mental.
Exactly.
Everyone buys it. Yeah.
Which is good, though, isn't it?
But she should be doing photocopying or filing, do you not think? Just the way she looks, she's got a very kind of suburban
look. The whole look thing annoys me. Do you know there's another pop stars thing starting?
Yeah.
Like, it's going on in Ireland, apparently it's Ireland's version of it.
Okay.
And today it was like, you saw all these kids rushing in, there was fat ones there and ugly kids, and you're thinking, it's sad and everything, they might have a good voice, but they've no chance, right? And there was a woman there who looked a bit like Brittany, and the bloke, straight away, before even hearing the voice, Brittany lookalike over there, go and get her in, give her a ticket, she's through to the next phase. And it's just annoying. Dido isn't beautiful, but she's nice enough. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's why she's fine for me. I mean, I mean, my standards are quite low.
So, do you think Steve should go out with her then? I mean, that's what we're asking you. Do you think he should?
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit Bowie.
Thanks, Carl. Try and fix that out for next week.
Fashion, David Bowie. We were doing a bit of voguing, sort of cross with body popping there, weren't we, Carl? Yeah.
Played that last night, Rick, during the set.
Yeah.
That was described by Zane Lowe as one of the best sets he's ever seen.
Well, he didn't say those exact words. But I think Zane just sent an email and said he's giving up because there's no point.
Yeah, exactly.
If when he hears stuff like that, he said, I thought I was a DJ. Yeah. After seeing Steve Merchant, I'm obviously not.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, so,
yeah, Big Boy Jim was down there.
Yeah, Big Boy Jim was going, wow, you know.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I like the idea because, you know, Fatboy Slim did Brighton Beach, didn't he? And he had like 20,000 people in Brighton Beach.
Yeah.
And China, everyone was loving it. Just the idea of me down in Weston-super-Mare doing the same
with 80,
the donkeys.
86 people. Have you ever seen, have you ever seen that thing, karaoke challenge on China's TV?
Yeah.
It's great. They're all doing it, and it's sort of like Jonathan, what's his name, from Bread, and all those sort of people there. And the camera falls out, and there's about 8 people there. Yeah.
But what I love about karaoke challenges, it's not even Night Fever. Do you imagine that? I mean, talk about. Wow.
Oh dear. We tried to get on that once, didn't we?
On Karaoke Challenge?
Yeah, when we were doing that comedy
lab.
We were doing it in character, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's David Bowie.
So we'd have a little bit of footage, but
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even let
you
on.
That was terrible.
That was how minor a celebrity you were at the time.
I remember once, right, this is how sad we were. We tried for about an hour to get on the Chris Moyle show. They were doing a competition. He was doing this competition. It was about golf, wasn't it? So it was like things with,
you had to think of a song title,
yeah.
But you had to make it into a golfing pun.
And people were calling up and going, now what about Drive by the Cars? He was going, Drive by the Cars, very good. And it was like, things like, you know what I mean? Things like something tea and that. And I wanted to phone up and go, hello, Chris Miles. Yeah, you know, what about, Spandau Ballet Golfy Golfy? Just me. And I was just, like, I was about 30 quid just to get on and do something stupid. How pathetic.
And they wouldn't even let us on.
What were the others? It's a good game, Matt.
Well, God.
Phone in if you've got any amusing puns on songs golf. And golf.
Yeah, please.
What did you say? What was your-
A Spandau Ballet Golfy Golfy. yeah, do you like that one?
It's a good little game.
Yeah, you're thinking- You're thinking of- What are you doing, Carl? What, you're thinking on the radio. That's what you're doing. It's a first. You're actually broadcasting thinking.
Can we just be quiet and just listen to Carl think?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anything?
Got anything there? Any golfing punters?
You know, people say, Carl, it's impossible to catch yourself not thinking. Now, I reckon if there's one man in the world...
Hole in my shoe. That fella in the young ones. Hole. And there's one on a golf course.
Has he got a little cold as well? Cause you're,
yeah, I was telling, Steve before I went on the tube last Saturday night.
Yeah.
Kills me. Every time I go on the tube, I just get full of a cold and everything, I'm full of flu and it's down to going on the tube.
Is it?
Someone told me that every time you go on the tube it's the equivalent of smoking 2 cigarettes.
Really?
Because of the sort of gunk and pollution down there.
And have you heard the other one?
And I always smoke 2 cigarettes on the tube.
Yeah. Because of my nerves.
Yeah.
What's the name one about the,
Oh, here you go.
All the air, all like the hair balls that are in the tubes. Because of like people stood on the platform, trains go whizzing past at high speeds, right? Takes a bit of your air off. Don't say anything.
What, you mean don't question the science of that?
Well, no, he means...
Because of my
It doesn't
head.
Affect him.
Right, oh, I see, yeah.
Right, and, apparently they all get caught up in the tunnels and they have to, like, clean it out now and again because there's big hairballs on the lines.
On the lines?
On the train lines.
Right.
Yeah, it's a terrible place, so that's why I'm all bunged up, and that's when you came in today, I was, like, looking on the websites to see how much badness there is down in the tubes.
Yeah. How much badness is there?
Oh, loads.
Is there a lot of badness?
Loads. If you know how much badness there is on the tube, call in 08700. What sort of things did you find? 1234. How much badness is there?
It was just about, you know, the germs, there's no fresh air, and that's why I was asking you about people committing suicide on trains and that, how often it happens. And apparently 2 people, a week. Was it two a week or two a day?
It's 2 cigarettes. How many people is it?
2 people.
700, 800, 1234. How many people per cigarette is it like killing yourself on the tube? Call in.
2 people a week try and kill themselves or something.
Right.
On the tubes.
Really?
It's bad, that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Terrible. Should we play a record?
If you want.
Have we got the big new Eminem single?
No, I was gonna,
We'll tease them with that. We'll play that a bit later.
We are going to play it, though. We're going to play the new Eminem single.
We will. Plus, obviously, we've got this big celebrity bag to give away as well.
Oh, yeah. Let me just explain the competition after that.
Doves.
Doves would be good. Eminem, Without Me, on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Hello there.
Little Carl Pilkington. Into the last hour, 3 hours of broadcasting to go, Carl, for us. Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing?
Three Musketeers.
Because you'll obviously still be working here. You have a day job, don't you? What is it you do exactly?
I make stuff.
You make stuff? Like, what, like furniture?
Promos and stuff.
Oh, right.
Sort of a bit of in talk there, but basically like little trails for the station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do all week.
Yeah.
So you'll be back to doing that when we're off.
You don't talk to anyone, do you, in the week? You just hide in your little sound booth thing and you really don't talk to anyone, do you? Much?
Not really.
No.
No, I mean, you know, you might call up.
Yeah.
But no, I keep myself to myself.
Yeah.
Then you don't get bogged down in the office politics and stuff.
Yeah. Is there a lot of office politics here?
I don't know. I don't get involved in it.
Oh, yeah. Proved your point.
So when we're away and we're like out of action, who other than Suzanne, who will you talk to of the day?
How will you get a sort of feedback from the world? How will you get sort of like input and?
I always, if ever I've got like a question on anything, the internet's sat there and I can just go online and find out.
The internet is good.
It's brilliant.
But it's not all verified.
What do you mean?
It's not all verified.
It's not all necessarily factually accurate.
Anyone can put things onto the internet. It's that, you know, that it's freaks and things that put on things
one, right?
Like-
Well, here's one that I read in the week, right?
One.
About this woman.
Yeah.
She was a bit of a punk. And, to get her hair done like she wanted it.
Super glue.
Right, no. She got lard. Apparently it's a popular thing, you might know. Put lard on your head.
Yeah.
And you put it in the oven. Now, apparently, the heat that you get from the oven is different from the sort of heat you get from an hairdryer, right? And she had to do that to get the style that she wanted. But anyway, she comes into money or whatever, treats herself to a microwave, right?
It's not true, Carl.
Opens the door, jams the things, you know, like the little catch, so the microwave works. She jams it with a screwdriver or a knife or something.
Yeah.
Puts the microwave on, sticks her head in, boils her brain.
don't be ridiculous.
Right. Well, why is that ridiculous?
Boils her brain.
She boiled her brain.
She boiled her brain.
And this is what's good about the internet. I went straight from that, and there was a subject about brains. And do you know that Russell Crowe, when he dies, is giving his brain to charity or something, some sort of some people who can do stuff right. with it.
She gave hers to Pot Noodle.
Vesta.
Yeah.
Oh, that's boiling a skull.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It's not true, Carl.
It's the same as the woman who put her poodle in the microwave, isn't it? And all
it's just urban myths.
They're urban myths.
But again, where does it start?
Someone made it up.
Yeah.
For a laugh.
They're just too convenient urban myths. Everyone said, you can tell an urban myth's not true, because it's always, this happened to a mate of mine, and when you say, what happened then, they go, don't know, that was it. Was it? Was that it? Was it? Someone boiled a brain and that was it. There was no more story.
Were there any dates? Locations? Times?
I think it was in Belgium.
There's that one, a bloke, right, was gonna get a phone call at 4 o'clock to find out if his business was, you know, okay, right? And if he didn't get the phone call, he knew he was broke, destitute. So, dead on 4 o'clock, the phone didn't ring, so he went up to the roof, his office, and he jumped off to commit suicide. And as he was passing his window, the phone was ringing.
Oh, no.
Carl, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Think it through.
Think it through. Who told that story? Who told that story? As he hit the pavement at 120 miles an hour.
He's the only person who could have known that series of incidents.
Also, why didn't he wait, as his life's at stake, why didn't he wait till 5 past? I said, I'm gonna give it 5 minutes, just in case.
Just in case the lines are busy.
Yeah. And what sort of bloke goes out, I'll call you at 4, okay, if you're busy, well, call me anyway. No. If I don't call exactly 4, then, commit suicide. Commit suicide? I would, because if I don't call at 4, that's the end of it. Well, call me anyway. No, that's not the way I work. Why can't you just call me and tell me the other way? Well, I'm telling you I would do it. If you're bust, I don't call. Can't you just call to verify in case something goes wrong? What if it's engaged? It won't be engaged. Just commit suicide at 4, please. It didn't happen, Carl. Have you had the other one, right? A bloke, right? He's on a train station, and I'll tell you how I heard it. He's waiting for a crew station, waiting for, and he shits himself, as you do. And so he goes, oh, my train's in 5 minutes, I need. So he runs across to Millett's and goes, quick, Levi's, 36. The bloke just puts it in a bag, he runs onto the train, he goes into the toilet, takes his trousers and pants off.
His soiled trousers.
Yes.
And pants.
Throws them out of the window, I won't be needing those again. Cleans himself off, open the bags, it's a jacket!
Oh.
No, it didn't happen, Carl!
It didn't happen, Carl!
At what point did he go into it and go, quick, Levi's 36, and the bloke went, sorry, Levi's 36, what, a pair? No, shall I wrap them? Them? It? Shall I wrap? Just wrap whatever it is. Do you want to look? No! I'm not looking when you're putting it in the bag, please. Right? 36 white stories. Well, not. Don't say anything.
I've told you 36 Levi's. And put it in a bag and charge me for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to discuss it further.
Yeah.
There was one.
Here we go.
There was one about a woman whose husband died, and she had him cremated.
Yeah.
And made like a little egg timer out of him. And she said, "I did that so it can still help around the kitchen."
Well, that might be true. That might be a joke.
That's quite sweet.
That might be true.
That is a true story, again. It was all
no, not again, because the ones I just told weren't. Nor is the boiling the brains in a bag curry microwave.
Head story true.
Yeah. They're too convenient.
Will you be buried or cremated?
What?
Will you be buried or cremated?
I don't know. Cremated, I imagine.
What do you see?
I don't know, it's out of my hands.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it.
I've not thought it through, and I don't care either way.
Have you heard the one
Sorry. I'm just worried that we're getting into a macabre world now of ashes, boiled heads. I think we should play some music, let people just calm down.
Levi's.
Just think about some of the urban myths they've maybe heard, assess them, maybe they are absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
And they can move on from it.
Well, it's just that, the death thing, right?
Yeah.
there was an argument on there about, do you know that Twilight Zone or whatever it was, Tales of the Unexpected?
Oh, yeah.
Where the woman got buried alive.
Yeah.
They were saying how, like, years ago, they bury people thinking they're dead.
Yeah.
And they've recently, like, dug coffins up, and then the people who were in the coffin weren't dead, they might have just been, like, in some sort of deep sleep or
catatonic.
Whatever. And they've lifted the lid off.
Yeah.
And there's scratch marks on the thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary. And
makes you think, I mean, I hope they check these days. That's all. I'd like to play a beautiful song now by Cat Stevens called Lillywhite. It's lovely.
A song for the lovers room?
Yeah. A big sell.
Please.
Cooper Temple clause there. Who needs enemies on XFM 104.9? Well, it's competition time. If you want that celebrity-endorsed bag from the BAFTAs, Jane had a good idea.
Go on.
She thinks we should revive sort of Swap Shop, because
I love Swap Shop. I think it's a great game.
It's great, it was great, right? But a competition or just saying why you need it, right? This way, you know, it's how much you can give, and I think it should be, right, what will endorse Carl's life. A theme of the season, I suppose, this is, we're ending a season now of this, of this show, aren't we? And one of the big themes is really develop Carl, enhance Carl.
Rejuvenate him in the same way.
What do you think Carl would want? Have you got something he'd love? It can be battling tops, you know, and you've got to say why he'd love your old battling tops. It can be a book.
Sorry, what's a battling top? Was it something you used to take to school, like, with your hoop and stick?
No, it was a little
and
game.
And your baked potato.
It was in the wrist action. And
go on.
It was like little tops, right? You'd have four players, right? And you'd wind it around like cotton, right? And hold a little... I'm getting excited thinking about
it. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know, I'm getting overexcited. It was just battling.
Was this something like-
And you pull it, yeah.
It
goes mad.
Don't send one of them. I've had one.
Don't give any clues. It could be some educational, it could be some personal to you that you think you might enhance. So, the competition is, basically, if you want that bag-
So let's just explain what the bag is. It's one of these sort of cardboard giveaway bags that we got at the BAFTAs. It's got a nice big picture of the BAFTA logo. We got it signed by, Graham Norton, Angus Dayton, Alan Davis, Jamie Theakston, Paul Whitehouse, Helen Baxendale, Steve, Phil Mitchell, McFadden, Simon Pegg, Steve Wright, obviously the three of us. And, you know, this is a nice little sort of, you know, if you like kind of autographs, or if you're an autograph hunter or whatever else, or you just like the bag.
Or you like the show.
You know,
or you
then,
want a little piece of Carl. Or you want to give Carl something, a bit of yourself, or to enhance his life.
So let's get it straight. So it's something that you have, it doesn't have to be very expensive, it doesn't have to be necessarily a worthy thing. I mean, something you've made.
Carl has to go, I want that.
Something that enhances Carl's life in some way. Something that will make his life a little bit more, special, a little bit better.
Yeah.
And this is a write or email only. We don't want your phone calls on this because we're just too lazy.
So what can make Carl's life a little bit more special?
And we'll give it away next week. So you've got a week to email or write in with your suggestions about what it is that you'd want to swap for this, this celebrity bag.
Is it carl@xfm.co.uk?
Yeah.
Or you can write XFM PO Box 1049 London WC2 H7XX.
Yeah.
Give them out again, Rick. Sorry, you ought to maybe mention something like, you know, Gervais bag.
Oh, I think Carl Swap Shop.
Carl Swap Shop.
Or,
Well, let's not confuse it.
Well, it's just good to have a good name.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
Is this gonna take as long as the
thinking
golfing
on radio again? Is this thinking on radio again?
Alright, we'll just do
so,
that.
So, hang on, it can't just be Carl at XFM. Is it not carl.pilkington?
Yeah, with a K. But the thing is, why are they emailing me? Because I'm not taking any bribes. They've got to send the stuff in.
No, they haven't.
100 people send something and you send 99 back.
No, I won't send- oh yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, no, they just email or write in without suggestion. Make sure that you mention who you are if you're emailing and leave a telephone number as well. We need a telephone number, we've got to call you back.
Let me give you an example. I like the bag. I want the bag, right? I think this would enhance Carl's life because I am sending, a feng shui book. Something like that. You know what I mean? I am sending Carl a teddy bear.
You have to explain why, though, obviously.
Yeah,
this is getting so much more complicated than it needs to.
I'm bored with it.
It was such an easy idea.
Throw the bag, burn the bag.
Give out the addresses again,
Rick. Bag. Okay. It's XFM PO Box 1049. That's easy to remember. London WC2 H7XX.
And the email?
I can't remember.
carl.pilkington@xfm.co.uk with a K.
With a K.
Alright, well done.
Yeah.
Man alive, that was exhausting.
Any clues, Carl? What would you like?
I really don't know. No. I honest to God, I can't help anyone out here.
No. You just see something you like when you see it.
Well, there might be something out there that I don't know about, and yet it is.
I'm sure there is. Do you know what I mean? Sure there's something out there you don't know
about.
There's
things in this room you don't understand.
No, but
okay, look, we played it before once, and I know you're a child.
Yeah,
man.
I love
I'm
this.
A big fan of this. This is from Amy Mann's album Bachelor Number 2, and this is Red Vines playing. Beautiful. I know Carl's not impressed, as ever. I don't know what your criteria for music appreciation is at all, Carl.
It's just like you build them up as being something really good, and then I hear it, and it's like...
Oh, but I don't know what it is that you're expecting to hear.
What
are
we meant to say?
Really good.
What are we meant to say? Oh, this is
all... mediocre trail.
This is all right.
Listen, when you played Simon and Garfunkel,
yeah.
Right, they've got their own unique sound. You know
yeah.
it's them when they sing.
Yeah.
That could have been loads of women who I know.
It could have been loads of women who you know.
No.
You only know your girlfriend.
What I mean, Sheryl Crow, sounded like Sheryl Crow to me.
Yeah, but
well, only superficially.
But man's been around longer than Crow. Who knows what, you know, influences she may have had.
That sounds like a fable, doesn't it? Man's been around longer than Crow.
Hey? But you see, no, I mean, that's just, you know, there's a number, let's be honest, Rick, I mean, there's not that many great female artists, are there?
Oh, hey, be careful there, Steve. Some of the sisters out there will be disagreeing with
I'm
you.
I'm not saying that they can't sing a beautiful song. I'm just worried they can't write the material.
I'm thinking of Bush. I'm thinking of...
Aren't we all, Rick?
I'm thinking of Arm Trading.
That's true enough.
I am thinking of...
Anastasia. I know you love Anastasia, don't you?
I love that new one. I love that new one. I mean, I don't
it
like
that sort
like of
the
stuff,
other two.
But it sort of has a good chorus, and I can do her dance. That dance at the end when she puts her arms up. I like
she
that
does
one.
Sound like she's a cover of the new Tina Turner.
Yeah, no, that's the only one I've liked, yeah. And, me and Steve think that she's sort of like one of those people that go out with her daughter.
Well, I think the reason is because if you notice, she always wears sunglasses.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that she's, because she claims to be something like 28, I bet she's like 40.
It's like one of those 40-year-old women who come from Essex, but they come with their daughter's 21st, and they're going, your mum's mad.
Yeah.
They think we're sisters. They're not, you know, I'm 40 and yeah. she's 12.
She always flirts with her daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Where are you going? We're going down, yeah. we're going down Millionaires.
Your mum's
come down
mad, look, your mum's got a bra off! Yeah.
Don't you think she looks like that, Carl?
Yeah.
I can't picture her.
You can't picture Anastasia?
No, she wears glasses.
Sunglasses all the time, yeah.
No.
You're not into this, are you, Carl? You get this whole sort of broadcast thing as just, you're fed up with it, aren't you? You can't wait to finish next week.
Well, it just seems I can't say anything right.
Why?
Well, whatever I say isn't right.
Or funny.
No, but do you know what I mean?
What? Because what are you upset about? Well, I laughed at the urban myth, but not being true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and...
But what, one of the things, I tell you, if you take nothing else away from our time on the radio, it should be to be more inquisitive. When a piece of information comes to you, don't just take it at face value, query and question it. That yeah. is what has made Ricky Gervais one of... the premier thinkers in this country. He will not accept anything on face value. He queries everything. Anastasia, she looks glamorous and 20- wait a minute, those glasses, what do they suggest? Actually, she's 40, I'm not gonna buy her records.
And that's, and that's libelous.
That's potentially libelous.
So,
you see?
So, hang on a minute. Roy what? Orbison then, was he starting to look old?
We're not saying everyone who wears sunglasses is necessarily older than their years.
No, we're not even saying about Anastasia, we're just doing about an image, one of those sort of like ravers that goes to their daughter. It was just, it was a little bit of light observational comedy, to be honest, Carl.
You've seen through it, mate.
Yeah.
You tore it to shreds.
She's not 40. You know what I mean? She doesn't hang out round with much younger people, chatting at their boyfriends. It wasn't true.
Right.
What are you, what do you want? What do you want in life, Carl? Tell me now, because me and Steve can probably sort it out.
That is true enough. Come on.
What do you want? What's the best thing?
What would make your life
song? If you could play any song now, what would it be?
Well, we're going to be spinning one of my favourites later on.
Killing a Georgie.
Killing a
Georgie. We've sorted that out. You've probably got a lovely few gifts you can choose from, just because we got a few signatures on a piece of paper. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What more do you want out of life?
I always find that
do you want a cat? You want a cat, don't you?
It's the things that you don't think you're gonna get that you enjoy the most, right?
Go on, like what?
No. Well, like, when you go out for a night and you're expecting just to have a simple little drink and it turns out to be a really nice night, you see people you haven't seen for ages.
Yeah.
Now, the BAFTAs, so sort of, you expect so much.
He's having a go, isn't he?
That when you get there, you get that little bit of veg as a starter. And you think, look at it, they've tried to make it look good. But really, as I said to you, I mean, you don't eat veg, which I find is mental. But like the starter that we had, that was like, how would you describe that?
It was a veg pie. It was like, I thought, I was starving when I came in there, right? And from the, stairs, I could see the tables, and it looked like there was pate laid out, and I was getting excited, I was salivating. Got there, it was a vegetable pie.
I said to Steve.
So, vegetable pie.
Okay, someone took mine. It was away. White House took mine, didn't he?
Yeah, but Rick, you won't eat anything. We've discussed this before. All you'll eat is pizza and crisps.
Do you know what he said to me in the week? I was picking up my food in the BBC canteen, and he went, right, I'm honestly thinking of stopping having lunch with you. I went, what? He went, it winds me up. I went, what? He said, it winds me up. It winds me up. You won't eat anything. Mm. That's a lovely bit of chicken there. You're not eating that. You're not eating that. It winds me up too much. Like, you get irritated by people, noise. I said, you eating, it just winds me up, Gervais. And then he went, you're a cock.
Yeah. It really annoyed me. His eating habits drive me mad because he's constantly whinging about the fact that he thinks he's got cancer. Every 25 seconds. Wait a minute, I can feel a lump, I can feel a lump. It's your cock. No, it's not, it wasn't there before, it wasn't there, it's a lump, it's a lump. I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying, quick to the hospital. I have been, how many times have you been to, like a doctor's clinic and sat in the waiting room, right? Carl, how many times have you been there, right, with a friend of yours? Twice I've been with Ricky. One time when we were writing the first years of the office, we were writing in the in the waiting room for the doctor. Because he had to go in there and have his, because he thought he had testicular cancer. I swear to God,
I'd seen the thing about testicular cancer. And I just said, so and he said, I'll put my, I never worry about that again. He said, no, you're not in the risk group now. The other time was,
but wait a minute, he had to go in there.
The other time was, I thought I had stomach cancer, and I went, she went, why? I said, oh, God. She said, when you get a sore throat, do you think you've got throat cancer? I said, I've thought that, yeah. And she sort of like, she sort of said, get out of here, you idiot. And that's what I like that when they do that. But I think it's sort of since my mum died of it, and I just think, oh, God, it's in the family. And that's the thing, yeah, I worry about,
but
yeah.
But don't you prefer, I mean, I don't go, because it scares me.
I'm like that.
I prefer not to go, because he might, I always worry that, especially with cancer and things, that they'll go, you know, I'll go there with a sore leg or something, and they'll go, no, your leg's fine, but look at this we've found in your head.
If it's your brain, you'll be laughing!
No, but do you know what I mean? They'll find something, because none of us are perfect, and as you get older, you get little moles and stuff, and, and they'll say, oh, we best get rid of that. And it's like, leave it alone, it's not causing any problems.
Imagine arguing! That shouldn't be there. Leave it alone, it's not, well, it is, it's getting bigger and it's strangling your lungs.
But Rick's sort of like, but my point was, this is what upsets me. He constantly worries about his health. He's constantly obsessed. I found some buboes. I think I've got plague. every 10 minutes he's got something.
I started choking once because I found some dust, didn't I?
Yeah, he swallowed some dust. He started choking like he swallowed a fishbone, right? He was literally, I thought he was going to die.
And he panicked and he shouted, right? I'm choking, I'm going blue and I'm trying to hit me and he's hitting me on the back. And he shouted, I don't know the Heimlich manoeuvre. Yeah. And I was choking and dying, but then I wanted to laugh, because he panicked going, it's like, if he's going to die, I want him to know that I didn't know the Heimlich manoeuvre.
I did everything I could, but I didn't know the Heimlich manoeuvre, so that was why I couldn't have saved
him.
But my point is this, he worries about his health, and yet he eats like a child. He eats crisps, constantly, Coke, he keeps going, oh, I've got a headache, drink some water.
Yeah.
No, boring, hate it.
I did say that, yeah.
Chips, pizza, sausages. Sausages, beans and chips. I have never seen someone eat so much. Sausage. I don't know how he's not bored of it yet. Sausage, chips and beans. Everything's got to have cheese on it. Parmesan cheese, please. You know, on anything.
Why don't they leave it in a restaurant as well? Seriously, why don't they leave the parmesan cheese? It's like it's gold dust or something. The salt, as much salt as you want. But they come along, and I found myself sneaking. I've said to Jane, look out, is the waiter looking? And I've leant over and did some more parmesan. I feel really guilty. Just leave it.
It was on a trifle. You don't need cheese on dessert. I've explained it to you.
Oh, dear.
So this is what, this is why I get angry, and that is why I got, and this is, I tell you this, what, if I had to be on, I mean, Ricky was on Room 101, if I had to be on there, I'll tell you this, Ricky Gervais would be the first person in there. He'd be straight in there, man, because I got a list as long as you are.
What did you think when I said, annoying people, like, making noises?
Unbelievable. So, you talked about, annoying noises, and that, people that make noises that are annoying. He is the most irritating man I've ever met, and I swear to God, I don't mean that as an insult, you really are, because you go out of your way to be insulting and irritating.
Thanks.
And that's fine, you know, but you'd be straight in there. Yeah. In fact, we should do this next week for Carl. We should draw up a list of Carl's hates, what he'd put in Room 101.
Oh, that
Think about that next week,
That
Carl.
Is genius. Next week. So we got the competition, we've got Carl. I tell you what, let's play a record and do White Van Carl.
Yeah.
And just let's slam dunk this mother.
That's true enough.
What are you going to play?
Some Behind Stars.
Okay. Alpine Stars, Carbon Kid, featuring little Brian from Placebo.
Oh yeah.
Thought I recognised him.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's all right, that. Right. White Van Carl. Carl.
White Van Carl. Yeah, this is where we steal the White Van Man column from The Sun and basically fire those questions at Carl. Getting his opinions on the week's news. Okay, Carl. Let me see. Okay, what do you make of this? The average woman, apparently, takes 27 minutes to get ready to go out. Did you know that?
Is it... are they saying that's a good thing, or...?
No, they're saying that the bare minimum it takes...
No, average,
this is
surely.
No. But I remember reading, I'm sure they said that, it takes them 27 minutes to get ready to go out, at the very least, I think.
It's not that bad if it's for a night out. It's... That, I mean, 30 minutes is alright.
If it's going to get to 20 woodbines.
But, yeah, or, you know, if the house is on fire, and it's like, quick,
yeah,
get ready and get out.
I don't think it's in a fire, no. I think 27 minutes.
I can take up to that.
But do they include the getting up, having a bath,
Doesn't
that?
Give me any more details.
No?
27
minutes. Well, that's difficult to go by. Difficult to go on that one, isn't it?
How long does Suzanne take to go out of the house?
Depends, like I say, if we're just nipping out shopping,
The old flip-flops and trackies on.
Yeah. But if you're going out for the night, it takes a bit longer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a wire in the trackies.
yeah.
Okay, no, really don't know what the ins and outs of this story are. Sven Goran Eriksson sticking with Nancy rather than Ulrika?
Well, it's his wife and that was his girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, if the story's true. No one seems to have offered any evidence for it.
Anyway,
Everyone remained silent.
It's rubbish.
And, okay, what do you make of this? David Beckham apparently was driving despite having an injured foot. And just further threatening his World Cup chances. Now, obviously, you're a big football fan.
Well, I'm not that big. I like the odd game.
Sure.
Would that hurt him? Would that hurt his foot?
It can't be good.
Is it in a plaster? It's not in a big car.
Sure, it's better to drive than it is to walk on it.
Good point. Fair enough. Yeah.
Cool.
Can't argue with that.
Can't get the bus, can he?
Okay. And what do you make of this fascist leader who's having a lot of success in the French presidential elections?
What's he doing?
Have you not come across this story?
No.
Right. This is one of the big political stories.
He's got a far right that got nearly 20%.
He's a far-right fascist leader and he's having considerable success in the French elections.
I don't think we should be asking hard questions like this.
Not something you've got to mention,
I'm getting scared.
There's all sorts of bad stuff going on in the world that we don't know about.
But we know about this.
Yeah, but you're better off not knowing because there's nothing I can do about it.
You're absolutely right, Carl. I can't argue with that.
Oh God, that's fantastic.
That is brilliant.
Have we got it lined up?
Yeah.
It's the one song I've been wanting to play since we've been on XFM, really. And it took me a while to track it down, obviously, in the XFM library. But here it is, Gimme Shelter from the Rolling Stones.
It's an amazing track.
Gimme Shelter from the Rolling Stones.
That's surely, if there was a soundtrack to the Vietnam War, that would be on there, wouldn't it?
Can I just reiterate this this giveaway then? We got this bag signed by a number of celebrities, Graham Norton, Angus Tate and different people on there.
Yeah.
And if you want to win that, then you have to email or write in with what you are willing to swap. Okay, so you need to swap something, and something which will enhance Carl's life.
That's
it. Can be anything. You could have made it, you could have bought it, anything, but you have to have it. You can send it to us in exchange for this this signed bag, and you can email Carl, carl.pilkington, Carl with a K, carl.pilkington@xfm.co.uk, or you can write to The Bag, or Ricky Gervais's Big Bag.
I've just realised why I've been saying Carl with a K, because you can have Carl with a C, can't you?
Yes, you can.
As in Cox.
Absolutely. Or you can write to XFM PO Box 104.9 London WC2H7XX. All right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, there's going to be a bit of a change, isn't there?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Rick. Normally we would end the show, obviously, with a song for the ladies.
But because it's sort of Carl's penultimate show, and we're going to play one of his favourite tracks. What are you going to?
Yeah, I just thought we could play this. It is obviously the Killing of Georgie
by Rod Stewart.
By Rod Stewart, and this is a song for the gays.
Oh yeah. Changing ways, so-called liberated days. A story comes to mind of a friend of mine. Georgian boy was gay, I guess. Nothing more or nothing less. The kindest guy I ever knew. His mother's tears fell in vain. The afternoon George tried to explain that he needed love like all the rest. Paul said there must be a mistake. How can my son not be straight after all I've said and done for him?
See, his father took it as a sort of personal slight, but you can't help it, you know. And as he said, you know, he's just gay. Doesn't make him a nasty person.
Not at all.
Leaving home on a Greyhound bus, cast out by the ones he loves, a victim of these gay days, it seems.
Are you enjoying this, Carl?
Yeah, but I'm not gay.
No evidence of him being Scottish.
No, but...
Georgie went to New York town, where he quickly settled down and soon became the toast of the great white way. Accepted by Manhattan's elite in all the places that were chic, no party was complete without George. Along the boulevards he cruised, and all the old queens blew a fuse. Everybody loved Georgie boy.
When he says they blew a fuse, if they're not electricians, they mean he sort of, it's sort of,
And it's not a euphemism either.
The last time I saw George alive was in the summer of 75. He said he was in love. I said, I'm pleased. George attended the opening night of another Broadway hype, but split before the final curtain fell. Deciding to take a shortcut home, arm in arm, they meant no wrong. A gentle breeze blew down Fifth Avenue.
Oh, I'm worried.
I'm a bit edgy. He's out late.
I know. And he's taking a shortcut, which is mental.
Not in New York City.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the area. He's from Scotland.
Out of a dark inside street came a New Jersey gang with just one aim: to roll some innocent passerby. Ensued a fearful fight. Screams rung out in the night. George is head in a sidewalk cornerstone.
I bet it was them that were screaming.
Yeah.
A leather kid, a switchblade knife, who did not intend to take his life. He just pushed his luck a little too far that night. The sight of blood dispersed again. A crowd gathered, the police came. An ambulance screamed to halt on 53rd and 3rd.
I'm suddenly worried. This isn't a true story, is it?
Who knows?
If it is, we don't know that. Just what, let's say that we're not. Oh, well, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
George's life ended then, but I ask who really cares? George once said to me, and I quote, he said, never wait or hesitate. Get in kid before it's too late. You may never get another chance. Cause youth's a mask, but it don't last. Live it long and live it fast. Georgie was a friend of mine.
See, how come you think this might be a true story?
I just got suddenly worried then.
No, but how can this be a true story, but the bloke jumping out of a window and hearing his phone ringing?
No, because Rod Stewart, I just suddenly thought, what if he's written a song about this and this bloke did actually exist and was killed? Then I started panicking.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is it?
I'm almost certain it's not.
Okay.
Is that it then?
Is that it? Then we got to pack up and go home.
Hmm.
Yeah? Well, I think we've enjoyed ourselves.
I've loved it. I've loved every minute of it.
Carl.Pilkinson@xfm.co.uk for your suggestions as to what you're willing to swap for the signed bag. See you next week.
Bye.